Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. I have a couple questions for you as we get started. How do you react when things are going wrong in your life? Not just small things, but big things, huge things. How you react can affect your physical health, your mental health, even your spiritual health. And when things go wrong, gratitude is usually not the first choice we make as a reaction. But yet my guest today specializes in helping us to see that gratitude should be the first choice when we make that we make in all of these different situations, good and bad. Karen Purvis was on the program in January of 2019 to talk about her book, Gratitude Prompts. You can go back to our archives and find episode 430 and 431 to listen to her last interview. She's had some, let's say, interesting adventures in the last year and a half or so, and is back today to catch us up and also answer some more questions about how we can use gratitude to help us grow spiritually. Karen's lived out her gratitude practice for over 20 years now, discovering the power of gratitude when she unexpectedly became homeless. And then a few years back, both her mother and her daughter died suddenly just 1 month apart. With all that going on, she faced what she calls a litmus test of her beliefs and practice. But instead of falling through the cracks, Karen approached the grief as the transformational event that it really is. She listened to the inner call to return to the country of her birth, leading to new ways of working and creating a new social network. She supports her clients in developing both gratitude and appreciation in their life, because both of these qualities and emotions are the cornerstone for bringing into reality everything that we desire. Karen shares that gratitude is a lifestyle choice rather than something you just do in 2 minutes at the end of the day. So help me welcome back to the program, Karen Purvis. Karen, thank you for agreeing to come back on and catch us up on what's going on in your life.
Well, hello, Robert, and thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Amen. Well, for those who may not remember or did not hear your prior interview, tell us in your own words, who is Karen Purvis?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am a woman who is now 63, and I actually share my age really for the first time in my life, because I think it's the best age. And so the person that you meet today is a kind, generous soul, whereas in the past when I was having a career and being an active mum, there was always kindness and generosity, but there was other things. There was urgency and impatience and striving, where those things have gone into the background, where kindness and generosity is to the fore. Mm-hmm. And I'm a coach, a mentor. I run workshops to help and facilitate that growth in other women.
Amen. Now, the last time we chatted, I believe you were on getting ready to start a book tour promoting your book, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell us about that and what happened.
Okay, so by the time I started, and this was about a year ago now, that I started the book tour, I had booked 39 events and I traveled 10,000 miles over a 4 to 5 month period. And it was great. What I noticed was, and what I did, I stayed away from the really big cities. I wanted to take the book to the regional centres in Australia. So, because it's all very nice sort of going up the coast, which is where the majority of the population are.
Right. Yeah.
But I wanted to take gratitude to where perhaps there is hardship, where there is drought. And so that's what I did. What was really interesting was the difference in the way people viewed life from being in the mining community as opposed to a farming community. And what I found was those people in a mining community were much less paying it forward, reaping what you sow, because they're already sowing. They were taking out the minerals from the ground. They were already reaping. They didn't have to sow that because that had been sown millions of years before. Whereas the farmers, they understood that if they didn't actually look after their cattle this year, they wouldn't have cattle next year.
Right.
I know that sounds like obvious, but it was a very different, I noticed it very, and so obviously the sales that I made in the farming community were many, much, much more. And the conversations I had with these people, because, sometimes they would sow and then something would happen and there'd be nothing to reap. Mm. And that's where the difficulty of life happens and where the conversations around gratitude arose. Mm. It was great, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Amen. Were you there during the fires and all that stuff that had been raging?
No, I was already here. I was already in the UK.
All right. Now,
that was really interesting because I had planned, so exactly where the fires were, the main fires were, that's where I would have been because that's where I was planning to be.
Oh, wow.
At that time. Okay. Yes, that was quite scary, actually.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, you consider yourself a quote-unquote accidental nomad. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, so when part of preparing for the book tour, I asked myself, what am I going to do with all my stuff? And I didn't have any heirlooms. I didn't have any antiques. I didn't have artwork that would appreciate in value. Well, it may have appreciated, but not, it's not worth millions or anything. But I would be paying out for the storage. And this is in February, March last year. And so I decided that I would just let my stuff go. And what was really interesting, like when I left the UK to go to Australia, I decided, and then within 2 weeks, everything was sorted. My house was sorted, my pets were sorted. And so these were these unseen hands of God, of the universe, helping me to make these transitions. And exactly the same thing happened when I decided I'm going to let all my belongings go. Now, don't forget, I'm not 30 and letting my stuff go. This is a lifetime of stuff.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of memories attached to it. But I decided that if I was, if I was going to embrace the new, I had to let go of the old. Mm-hmm. So through February, March, that's what I did. And I met someone who said, actually, if you're going to give away a lot of your stuff, we'll take it and we'll sell it as fundraising. And I went, perfect. Because so I sold some things, but I gave a lot of it away to an animal charity.
Okay.
And really, even though I don't feel that I was a nomad on the book tour, but that's where my nomad experience started. I was always on the road and I would talk to people about downsizing to a suitcase, of which people would be quite surprised. How could you do that? And yet a year before I went on a retreat in May 2018, and someone there was traveling around, she'd downsized and she was traveling around in a camper van, and I went, oh my goodness, there is no way I could do that. And yet a year later, less than a year later, that's exactly what I was doing. Wow. And so when I got to the end of the first phase of the book tour, I was thinking, well, what am I going to do next? Where am I going to organize the next phase of the book tour? You know, and I was having a think, you know, what was I going to do? I woke up one morning and with this idea that I would go back to the UK, that really my time in Australia was complete.
Mm.
And I tell you, I can tell you something, Robert. I was as shocked as anyone because that was not part of the plan.
That wasn't
so when
on.
I left,
got it? That wasn't on your agenda.
Absolutely, because when I left the UK, I left it and I said goodbye to things like, you know, trees, very special trees, and because I thought that I would be going back to Australia to live out my days. And so so what I did was I looked at the money that I had in the bank from the book tour, and I thought, okay, I will do it. I sort of did a deal with myself. If there's enough money from the current account from the book tour or the checking account, as you would call it, I would do it. And you're not going to believe it. There was $100 more.
Mm, wow.
So I thought, wow, I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed that there's the money. It's in that account. So I'm to do it. And 2 weeks later, I only had to sell my car and my traveling things, mm-hmm. because I'd already gone down to a suitcase already. Yeah. And I caught another one-way ticket back to London. And I arrived on the 5th of August last year.
Mm. So what have you been doing since then?
I've been house-sitting.
Ah,
so okay. this is where the nomad experience, and this is where I do think about myself as an accidental, because I wasn't. This isn't. None of this is planned. You know, none of this is planned. So I actually do house sitting and pet sitting, and I do it all over the UK. Although it tends to be concentrated in the south, mm-hmm. although I'm in the Midlands at the moment, and I do it for between 1 week and 12 weeks.
Hmm, wow. Yeah, I know we've used pet sitters before. You know, I've got two little babies that, you know, I just adore and need to make sure they're taken care of if I'm going to be out of town for a few days, you know, either speaking somewhere or my wife and I go on vacation. So I get what you're saying, because people, you know, they want their stuff taken care of and just not left vacant, or, you know, just put dogs in kennels and you don't know how they're being cared for and all that. So it's definitely a needful service that you're providing. Do you ever get to meet the homeowners of the pets that you're sitting with or anything like that?
Yes, I do. Part of the preparation, I've noticed that the pets behave much better if I arrive and there's an overlap. So if I arrive two nights before, like, I used to say 24 hours, but people don't interpret 24 hours. People interpret 24 hours in various different ways. It's really quite interesting. So people think 24 hours is just is the day before.
Right.
Even though it might be 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. I actually ask for 24 hours, which usually means when people leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, then that's two nights.
Yeah.
So it's a whole day. I arrive a whole day. So I get to experience how the owners interact with their pet and do a routine, have their day routine. And I find that actually works really, really well. So yeah. I'm at a house sit at the moment, and the homeowners, they've changed their plans a bit because of the coronavirus. They were going to go to Rome. Oops. And now they're going somewhere else. So they're not going. They should have gone this morning, but they're not going until tomorrow morning now. So I've been here a couple of days before they were going.
Amen.
But I noticed that last night, so the dog yesterday treated me with great suspicion, right? Great suspicion. She's a border terrier, and I've got a lot of experience with terriers. But last night, she decided that she would jump on the bed and keep me company, not to go to sleep, but mm-hmm. just jump on the bed to keep me company. And yeah. I saw that as me winning her heart. And yeah. that was before the owners left.
Yeah.
So then they can leave knowing full well that Maisie is happy mm-hmm. and that they know they've met me and they've got a sort of a 3D view of me
yeah.
Rather than just a profile. So, yeah. Amen. And Amen. My experience is the more I meet the owners beforehand, and less so on afterwards, because everyone wants to get on with their life afterwards. But the more I meet them and we spend time and we have conversations and we have a meal together, the easier it is for them to hook up and go, do you know, Karen, can you come and see us? Can you come and do another sit for us in 3 months' time? Or, you know, yeah. are you free? And so I'm getting, you know, so I've only been doing it 7 months, but I'm booked for the rest of the year. And a lot of that is return sits.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Let's get back on gratitude for a minute. Tell us, what is gratitude?
Well, gratitude is an emotion. It's a feeling of I'm going to say of abundance, but that's sort of like esoteric. It's a feeling. Gratitude is a feeling of fullness in you. It can be akin to love and joy, in that you feel good about the world. You feel good about you. And I'm sitting here and I'm going to try and explain to you. So I've got my open hands around my heart. And so my heart is full, and this is how I'm showing you, even though I know it's a podcast, but I am moving my hands out in front of me at my heart. So my heart is full. It is brimming over with joy, with love. And that action of brimming over means that you show up with kindness and generosity, because it's just, you have to do that because it's brimming over. So you've got to use that energy that's coming out of your heart to the good of yourself and for others.
Okay. Well, how can we know if we're truly experiencing a gratitude moment rather than just a feel-good moment?
Well, I don't know. Does it really matter whether it's a feel-good moment or a gratitude moment? If you're feeling good, then in that moment of feeling good, you can say to yourself, I'm really grateful for feeling good. I'm really grateful for whatever happened to enable you to feel good. And so you can link those two things.
Okay.
The thing about gratitude is that it's a practice. So feeling good can be a little bit serendipity-ish.
Mm.
So it could just arrive without really knowing why it's arrived or how it arrived. Okay. Whereas gratitude, you can feel good all the time. Even when I was grieving, when I was really into grieving with over my daughter,
mm-hmm.
and clearly I was like, other people could see where I was, but I actually felt good. You know, I was in a grieving place, but I was still looking at the buds on the trees and marveling at the wonders of nature. I was still admiring the flowers and the daffodils and everything else. And so to me, this was me experiencing gratitude, even in deepest, darkest grief.
Amen.
Whereas other people would have seen me as being very sad. Whereas, you know, I was still feeling grateful. So, you know, f- feeling good is relative to where you are. And even when you're depressed, you can still stop a moment and go, wow, look at that rose leaf. It's all serrated on the outside. How marvelous is that? Mm. And in that moment, if you touch it, you can feel better. And that's a cue, you know, that's a hint that if you carry on doing that, you can step out of your grief. You can step out of your fear, your despair, your depression. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about clinical depression and severe mental health. You know, that's not within my remit.
But you can step out of your grieving process, even if it's just for, you know, a few seconds for a show appreciation, because that will begin a process of stepping out for a minute or two, and then an hour or two, and then a day or two, and pretty soon you're on with your life again, right?
That's right. And because when you're grieving, you feel like, I think one of the most shocking things that I experienced was that even though my world had completely shattered, everyone else just carried on living, you know? And the more I realized that the sun was going to carry on coming up every morning, you know, the daffodils were going to carry on bobbing their heads in the breeze, the leaves and the trees were going to continue to be growing and falling, that got that in a way, it wasn't violent, but it shook me out of the fact that this is a very personal experience, and this is only a little bit of my life. Even though it was traumatic, it was a little bit of my life, and really, life is about living. It's about being with the buds on the trees, and it's about being in the breeze and in the sunshine as well as in the rain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said before that, if I remember right, living in line with the universe helps to provide you support and guidance. Can you explain what that means?
Gee, you're asking me really tough questions. Well, so when living, I mean, I don't know the answer to that, actually. All I know is that with my gratitude practice, like the answer to me coming to the UK came to me one morning. I woke up one morning and I had the overriding thought was, I'll go back to the UK to live, right? And there was only me, and I sort of looked around and I thought, where did that idea come from? I had no idea. It didn't come from me. I wasn't thinking, you know, I wasn't thinking, oh, so if this doesn't work, I'll go back to the UK. That never came across my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is about this. I'm trying to show you what that means in how it happens in my life. That living, so when you're congruent, and what that means is when you're living your best life, you're living according to your values, you're living honestly, you're living, you know, whatever your values are. And I can only tell you how I live, and you know, I live frugally and honestly, and I continuously put one foot in front of the other. And so because I believe in baby steps, even when you don't know where the baby steps are going, you just got to take baby steps. And I think that is the answer to your question. That to have the faith to take the baby steps when you don't even know where they're going. Amen. Because the action of taking the baby steps will lead you. So let me just let me just say, you know, had I not done the book tour, would I have still come back here to live? Because the whole action of going on the book tour was letting go of my old life, was letting go of aspirations, of living in Australia, of everything. It was about letting go. So I had recovered from the grief, and then I needed to let go. I let go of everything to the point where it was just me with my suitcase. And that enabled me to be open to new things happening.
Amen. Amen. So it sounds like, you know, we just say you live by faith for the most part. And that has benefited you, you know, by realizing, I guess, the important things in life, right?
Well, where the important things are spiritual rather than material.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
And to me, my life has been about the spiritual rather than the material. Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's interview with Karen Purvis. Man, time seems to go so quick. But you know, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. Now, she's been on our podcast before, and it was a lot of great tips there. But today, she is just going overboard. I'm telling you what, I hope you're taking notes. You need to go down in the show notes. You need to get in touch with Karen Purvis. You need to order her book, Gratitude Prompts. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, if you want to learn how to live by faith, you have to have gratitude in order to do so. There's just no two ways about it. And she's been sharing some great tips. You know, 30 days of gratitude prompts. And it isn't a fill in the blank. Like she's going to tell you, okay, today I want you to give thanks for the birds and the bees. She just gives you some prompts and you fill it in on whatever the Lord leads you with. And folks, this is something that you can do continuously around the calendar every month of the year. But you start off by getting this book. You need this book. Go down in the show notes, click the link, get the book, and get in touch with Karen Purvis. Just let her know how much you appreciate it. Now, be sure you come back tomorrow because we're going to conclude our interview there. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.